This lesson is a part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011, hosted by Dr. Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is entitled, Encouraging Your Pastor's Wife, with Mrs. Rita Weaver. Mrs. Weaver teaches classes at West Coast Baptist College, where she currently serves as the Dean of Women.
I have had a wonderful life. I have not had a perfect life, because no one does. And I've had, there's Susan, my sister's in here, oh my goodness. But I have enjoyed my life. Not been without problems, but I have enjoyed serving the Lord. And at age 61, I am so glad that I have chosen to serve the Lord. And I want you to feel the same way when you get to the age, whatever, and I see some that are older than I am. But thank the Lord. I'm the oldest of six children. And Susan and I were raised in a preacher's home. We were PKs. I got to be a cook at a Christian camp for 4 summers. Then my husband and I worked in churches. I was assistant pastor's wife, and my husband was a music and youth director. I taught Christian high school for a while, and then I've been a Bible college teacher. And then now for the last 10 years, I've been the Dean of Women here at West Coast Baptist College. And my husband likes to tease, and he says, I have 450 drama queens in the dorm. And we raised 2 boys, and so these girl things, but I see some of my students in here, some sweet girls. We have some great, great young ladies at our college. However, I had the privilege of being a pastor's wife for 4 years to the day, 4 years to the day, January 2nd, 1998 to January 2nd, 2002, and that was my favorite job of all. I love being a pastor's wife, and I want to encourage you to make it easy for your pastor's wife, so that she can be joyful as a pastor's wife, because maybe your daughter would want to be a pastor's wife. If you see that your pastor's wife has a joyful life. Yes. You know, we travel with the college. We have 4 girls with us this summer. So many preachers will say to the girls, girls, stand up and tell, you know, what you think God wants you to do. Well, they're sort of at the mercy of who they marry. But all of them will say, well, I want to be a preacher's wife. And I'm so excited when they say that. Because there's been someone in their life that has been a good example and has made that job appealing. And you ladies can help your pastor's wife have a good life so that maybe some girls in your church will want to be a preacher's wife. It was a little bit shocking to me to see those little, on the screen that pastor showed, the 3 little steeples churches, you know, where you have used to have a whole lot of church planters and a whole big bunch, and then now it's lower than it was before. And you know, the truth is, as we travel around in the country, it's not as many young people who want to go in the ministry as before. And maybe it's because we're not modeling that it's a wonderful life. I don't know. Or maybe we're not helping. I don't know. But it is the burden. Wouldn't you like to see more of the young people in your church that would want to go into the ministry? So anyway, just so that I can get a feel of who is in here, do there happen to be any pastor's wives in here? Anybody? Okay, so we're all okay. Then how many of you are on a paid staff at a church or a school? Okay, so the rest of you, most of you are just, you're unpaid. You're deacon's wives or you know, laymen, or let's say lay women, or however you would say that. Just regular people. That's wonderful. I'm glad you've come in here. Now this, so I can get a little the flavor in here. How many of you attend a church of 200 or less? Okay. And how many of you attend a church of 200 or more? Okay. That's about half and half. Okay. Great. You know, the pastor's wife is the only woman I know who is asked to work a full-time job without pay on her husband's job in a role that really no one has yet defined. Yeah. It's a full-time job to be a pastor's wife, and you're full-time on your husband's job, you know, but, and it's a varied situation, because different pastors' wives are in different life stages. Some are young, some are middle-aged, some are older. Some have little bitty children, some have grown children, some have teenagers. So, you know, it's a varied job description. Some are in a small size ministry, some are in a larger size ministry, some are in one location, some are in a different location. But the pastor's wife is a special lady. My mother was a pastor's wife. And for the whole time that I was growing up, she was a pastor's wife. And most of the churches where my mom and dad worked, it was a small church. We had 6 children in our family, And we always housed the evangelists. And my mother led the way on all the dinners on the ground. She was in charge of all that. She helped greatly with all the Vacation Bible School. So she was very involved in the ministry. And she made it appealing. I can remember sometimes when there was something going on in one of the churches. Something was going on. Two ladies were causing problems. And so I can remember hearing my mom and dad whisper, Mrs. B, you know, they weren't going to say the name. And Mrs. M, they were talking. And we kids, we would say to ourselves, we know who they're talking about. It was Mrs. Bush and Mrs. Murphy, you know, but they thought, Mom and Dad thought they were being secretive, you know, about talking about a problem. But that was only one time I remember that going on. And I know they had other problems in the churches because, hey, no church is perfect because none of us are perfect. But my mother made serving the Lord appealing. And all five of us girls are in full-time ministry. We have a brother too who serves the Lord also, but she did a great job in her job of being a pastor's wife and modeling that in front of us. When I was in college at Tennessee Temple, which I would not endorse now, but when we were there in the 60s, it was a wonderful school like this school here. Mrs. Lee Robertson was my pastor's wife, and of course, I never remember her speaking at any ladies' meeting. Do you, Sue? I don't think she did, but she always was in her place. She was in charge of the cradle role, they called it, which was the nursery. But yet, I think she must have had other ladies doing whatever, because she was always in that same seat. And all the time that I was there, my mom and dad went to college there. All six of us kids went to college there. I never remember Mrs. Robertson missing. She was an epitome of faithfulness. And yet, you know what her main job was to be the wife of the pastor. She was a pastor's wife. And she impacted my life. And then, of course, my husband and I have worked we'll be married 41 years here in the next few days. And in all this time in the ministry, we've worked in, like I say, small, medium, and large churches. And every pastor's wife has been different, but special in her own way. We have a wonderful pastor's wife here at Lancaster Baptist, Terry Chapel. Someone had made an acrostic one time of Terry Chapel's name, T-E-R-R-I-E. Let me just share this with you. T standing for tender. Mrs. Chapel is a sweet lady, and I wish I had her sweetness, but she's a sweet lady. T, tender, sweet. E, entertaining. She entertains so many people in their house almost every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. She will have not a small crowd, but a big crowd in her house, standing room only. The college does help her with some of the meals, but she cooks a lot of it herself and has some others. My sister helps greatly with that. But she entertains. Her kitchen is built for entertainment. The R, the first R, someone mentioned this word, reliable. There again, for the 10 years we've been here, I know she was sick for a while because I think she had gallbladder or something, but I don't remember seeing that she wasn't there. She was reliable to be in her place, to be at church. Another R for Terry, T-E-R-R, she's ready. You know, when pastor has all these people at their house on Sunday night and Wednesday night, I'm talking 40 or 50 or more. Before he prays, Mrs. Chapel is always busy helping serve and getting everything ready, but he will, without fail, say, Terry, sweetheart, come on up here with me. Now, she doesn't like to do this. She's not the in front of crowd kind of lady. Come on up here, and I want you to give a word of testimony. She's always ready. I know she wouldn't choose to do that, but she doesn't say, no, I don't want to. She comes on up and does it. She's ready. The I on her name, intelligent. She's very intelligent. She's written two books, great books. She has a large Bible study for the ladies of the church here on Tuesday mornings. She's always reading books. Pastor Chapel mentioned all the books he's read. He's read 30 books so far this year. She reads that much, too. When they go on trips, he teases her that she takes as a suitcase full of books. And you know how your mama used to say reading makes you smarter? Well, Mrs. Chapel's intelligent. She reads and learns. And the E on her name, efficient. She goes the whole nine yards. If you know anything about sports, that's an expression. That means she goes all out. That thing we just had over there for the pastor's wives, it was phenomenal. I mean, it just wasn't a brownie and a scoop of ice cream. It was the whole nine yards. There were decorations from the top to the bottom to the side of that whole room. She's an efficient lady. We have a special pastor's wife lady here. You know, I'd like to encourage you to make an acrostic of your pastor's wife's name and think of some positive traits that she has. Put it in a note, and when you go back home, give it to your pastor's wife. Just to be encouraged, don't you think she would like that? I think she would. So I encourage you to do that. The title of this session is Encouraging Your Pastor's Wife. Please turn to 1 Samuel 14 before we have a word of prayer and we'll get started. 1 Samuel 14, and then if you could also turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And Ms. Zara, I need to figure out when I need to stop. The next session starts at 2:30, so I'll be before. Okay. All right. 1 Samuel 14, we'll show you one verse, and then 2 Corinthians 1, and I'll show you the verse in just a moment. All right, and then if you have your booklet, it's on the very first lecture of track 13. Is there anyone, we had some ladies come in late, that you do not have a book and so you need an outline? Will you raise your hand? Is there anyone else? Okay, Ms. Hare, I think we're good on that. Thank you. Oh, there's one over here. Raise your hand if you don't. She has one. Never mind. Okay. All right, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much, first of all, that we are in your family. And that you are our Heavenly Father, and that our salvation is eternally secure. What a joy that is. Thank you for the opportunity to be in the ministry. Thank you for these ladies who have chosen to come to this session, wanting to know something more, how they could be an encouragement to their pastor's wife. That is awesome. And I pray that you'll help us now as to come up with some ideas that they can implement to be an encouragement to their pastor's wife. Thank you so much for loving and caring for us. In Jesus' name, amen. On March the 30th, way back in 1793, the mission board met and set apart William Carey. Have you ever heard of his name? He's the father of modern missions. And another missionary. They were going to go into service abroad. They were going to go to India. Andrew Fuller was moderating that meeting, and he said on that occasion, "There is a gold mine in India," and he wasn't talking about the gold, you know, in our rings. "There's a gold mine of souls. But it seems as deep as the center of the earth." I don't know what religion is in India. What is it? Hinduism. I mean, they have no hope of eternal life and just terrible. So he said, these missionaries are going to India. They're going into a gold mine. But it seems as deep as the center of the earth. William Carey stood and said this, "I will venture down into that mine, that gold mine to dig. But remember, you must hold the ropes." He says, "I'm willing to go down into that mine, but I need somebody to hold the ropes." Ladies, let's determine that we will hold the ropes for our pastor's wife. The pressures on a pastor's wife are amazing. It's still a wonderful life, but it's a lot of pressure. A lot of the ladies of the church will come and dump on you and in hopes that you will get some so that you as the pastor's wife will tell her husband and get something done. You know, she won't say it to him. She'll come to you. It's a hard life. And missionaries can't do it on their own. They've got to have prayer support. They've got to have financial support. And so William Carey says, "I'm willing to go down into that gold mine and dig for the souls of men. But you in this group, in this audience," is what he was saying, "must hold the ropes. You must help me." Let's look at 1 Samuel 14, please. Verses 6 and 7. 1 Samuel 14, 6 and 7. "And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, 'Come, let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few.' And his armor bearer said unto him, 'Do all that is in thine heart, turn thee. Behold, I am with thee.'" If you underline in your Bible, will you underline those words? "I am with thee according to thy heart." Wouldn't it be great if you ladies who've chosen to come to this session could be an armor bearer for your pastor's wife that says, "Ma'am, sweet pastor's wife, old, young, little bitty, big, whatever, have little bitty kid, no matter what stage, I'll be right there with you. I will be with you. According to thy heart." Will you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24 and see what the Bible says? 2 Corinthians 1, 24. The Bible says, "Not for that we have dominion over your faith," we're not better than anybody else, "but are helpers of your joy." If you underline in your Bible, I encourage you to underline that phrase, "helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand." Wouldn't you love to be a helper of your pastor's wife, joy? I can think of some ladies who were helpers of my joy. They helped me greatly, and I'm going to share some of the ways that they were an encouragement to me in some suggestions for you to hopefully to be an encouragement to your pastor's wife. I am with thee. I'm with thee, pastor's wife. I'll help you. I'm going to be a helper of your joy. So, encouraging the pastor's wife. Number one, how can you be an encouragement to your pastor's wife? Be in your place. Be there. Be in every church service. Come to every activity. If there is a rock throwing contest at the church, my mama used to say, we are going. And I tell the college girls here, we have a wonderful activities department here at West Coast. And they plan activities that are wonderful. And yet some of the girls or guys will want to go off and do their own thing. And I say, no. Even if it's a banquet, I don't want to go if I don't have a day. I say, go anyway with your girlfriends. Support the people who have spent hours planning it, preparing for it. And, you know, so be there. You can be an encouragement to your pastor's wife by being in your place. Am I supposed to be doing this? Okay, it's not going to. Okay, that's fine. All right. Center your life around the church. The church has so many activities, it's crazy sometimes, but that's fine. Center your life around the church. And if your pastor's wife will have a lot of things to doing with planning the things that go on at the church. So how can you encourage her? By being there, being in your place. Never wondering, I wonder if Mrs. So-and-so will come. I hope she'll come. No, just always be in your place. And that will be an encouragement to your pastor's wife. Number two, serve with the right motives. I hope you will serve your pastor's wife and want to be a blessing to her. But do it with the right motive. Serve your pastor's wife just to be a help and a blessing, not just to get in good with her. But serve and help her just because you want to be a blessing. Serve with the right spirit, with the right motive. Number three, shield her from hurtful things. And I don't really know exactly what I'm talking about here. It could be unnecessary gossip. She doesn't need to hear everything about that. Complaining, when people complain. Now, sometimes we want to know how we can make things better. That's different than just complaining, you know, but shield her from hurtful things. And then I want to be very careful how I say this, but then I really want to tell you this. You may need to rescue her sometime from some people. Now, let me give you an instance. When I was a pastor's wife, we had a sweet lady, and I loved her. And she knows I loved her, and she loved me. Her name was Aileen. She was very unkept, and, you know, she lived in a house where there was no air conditioning, and she had all kind of medical problems, but she always wanted to tell me about it, and not just about, you know, I have one little problem. She wanted to tell me the whole thing. And, you know, I wanted to listen to her. Honestly, I did. I loved her. I gave her a hug every single time, even though I felt like after I gave her a hug, you know, I thought maybe I smelled funny. But I still gave her a hug anyway. But some ladies picked up on it, how Aileen would just come and want to talk to me. And I honestly couldn't get away from her without being rude, and I didn't want to. But there were some things I needed to care for. So some of these ladies would rescue me from her. And I say this in a good way. And they would come and say, Aileen, let me show you something. And then I'd take off, you know. But, you know, you may need to shield her from, and I say hurtful things in a good way. I hope you understand that. Number four, back her decisions. Be her cheerleader. So important. What a blessing it is when you say, as a pastor's wife, we're going to have this luncheon. Now, who can bring a meat dish? And it's so terrible when you look around, will anybody raise their hand? You know, but be the one that volunteers. Yes, I will. That's that encourage. Back her decisions. Be her cheerleader. Be loyal. Be helpful. Number five, don't dwell on the negative, but be reminded of the blessings and successes. Let me tell you this. No pastor's wife, or any person for that matter, is perfect. Are they? No. No pastor's wife is perfect. So don't dwell on the negative. We all have negatives. You dwell on the blessings and successes that your pastor's wife will have. Dwell on that. Everybody has negatives about their life. We do too. You know, and when we become critical, that's so wrong. And if we ever point and say, you do this, we have three fingers pointing back at us. So let's don't dwell on the negative. There are negatives. There are negatives. I tell the girls all the time at the college, life is unfair. Life is tough, but that's life. So you just make the best of it. And so don't dwell on the negatives. Your pastor's wife, as every pastor's wife, will have negatives. And sometimes you may have to even look for them. But some of the negatives are all over the place. Don't dwell on them. She's your pastor's wife. dwell, be reminded of the blessings and the successes. Number six, love your pastor's wife. And some people may say, well, I love everybody. I'm a Christian. I love everybody. Well, you know what? Love is a feeling. And so you really can't. You really need to have actions to back it, to show that you love her. Okay? What actions can we do to demonstrate to our pastor's wife that we love her? Love her and show her that you do. Let me see if this lady's in here. I don't think she is. A father-in-law came up to me last night, and he says, my daughter-in-law just recently had a heartache. Mrs. Weaver, can you just find her? Hey, Beatrice, I just saw you. Can you find my daughter-in-law and just give her a hug? She needs it right now because the heartache is eating her from within. And I found her today, and the Lord let me run across her path and to give her a hug and just tell her that I loved her. Now, she knows I love her because she was a college student here at one time, but I got an opportunity to give her a hug and to say I'm praying for you and I love you. Well, how can you show your pastor's wife that you do love her? I think the Lord can help you know how to do that. Number seven, pray for her and her children. When I was a pastor's wife, this meant the most to me than anything. It means the more to me now as a dean of women. I have several girls who text me every morning, Mrs. Weaver, I just now prayed for you. That means the world. I love gifts and candy bars and different things. But I love the fact that they tell me they pray for me. I've gotten oodles of texts this summer while we're out on the road praying for you today, Miss Weaver. That means the world. And pray for your pastor's wife. Pray for her children. While my husband was pastor in Berea, and our oldest son, Todd, was away from the Lord big time, we were one of those that Pastor mentioned today. We tried our best to raise him for the Lord, but he chose his own way for 3 long years. But the church members in our church, I had a lady Sunday school class. I didn't hide it from them. I told them. And it was so wonderful because they prayed for Todd. They honestly prayed him back to the Lord. He listened to them before he would even listen to his mama, who loved him more than anybody in the whole world. But you know how sometimes they won't listen to you. They'll listen to somebody else. So you pray for your pastor's wife. And you pray for your pastor's children. It means the world. That's how you can be an encouragement. And then tell them periodically in a note. I love notes because you can reread them, you know. That's why I love letters. We don't do love letters anymore, I guess, because these kids, they sit together in class, and as they're walking to the next class, they're texting each other. I mean, you know, but you can't save a text. But, you know, I have letters that my husband wrote me while we were dating. I love it because you can reread them. But pray for your pastor's wife and her children and tell her that you're praying. Number eight, get to know her. Now, this could be in the bigger churches, get to know her. I tell the college girls here, with this big ministry here, and I tell the college girls, you know, Pastor Chapel and Mrs. Chapel cannot come up to you all the time and say, hey, how you doing? You know, what's your name? I want to get to know you. Because it's such a big ministry. So I tell the girls, it takes 15 seconds. They'll stand around after the services as long as anybody's there. And I encourage them to go up and say, my name is Susie Q from Alabama, and I'm so glad to be here. And then I say, do it, you know. And you don't have to say anything else, but you make the initiative to get to know your pastor's wife. You'll get to know her, of course, in your smaller churches. Now, let me warn you, don't smother her, though, and expect her to choose you as her special friend. Get to know her, but don't smother her and just expect her to just have a one-person friend. You're the one person. You just be a blessing by getting to know her. Number nine, send her cards and notes of encouragement. There again, you can reread them. And then don't just say this. Thanks for all you do. That's so generic. You know, we go to different people's houses. We stay in different people's houses every night, either that or in a hotel. It's about half and half. And so when we stay in someone's house, well, every night when we have it at a church, we go to church every night. That's a lot of religion, by the way. But anyway, on tour, we do this. Every tour member writes the pastor a card. And I tell them, don't just say, thanks for having us. I enjoyed being in your church. I say, tell them something specific that was a blessing about your church. So to your pastor's wife, you know, I love it the way you dress your little girls in sweet little girl clothes. And oh, your boys are so handsome. And you keep yourself so nice. I mean, be specific. thank you for smiling. You know, be specific instead of just saying, thanks for all you do. Because then you wonder, what did I do? I don't know what I did. So be specific, okay? Number 10, remember birthdays and anniversaries. I asked several pastors' wives some of these as I've gone across the country the last 2 months we've been on the road. And one of my sisters said this, Lisa, who pastors actually a large church. She said, it's just so special. She said, one of the ladies of the church decided that every time I had a birthday, she would get the teenage girls together and they would do something for me. She said, they didn't have to do that. But she said, that just means so much. But do something special. A lot of times the church will recognize the pastor's birthday and the pastor's anniversary. Well, the anniversary, you would be a couple on that. But remember her birthday and anniversaries. You know what? Let me tell you this. Gift cards are always nice because you can use them and buy them whenever you want to or whenever you can or whatever you really need. But that's just a suggestion. I loved and appreciated everything that people give me. And I've given so much, it's crazy. But a gift card is nice because you can go when you want to and get what you really need, okay? Number 11, be sensitive to her family. Be sensitive to her family, for her family time, I'm sorry. She's got to spend time with her family. And our pastor models this. He's wonderful at this big ministry, but he is family-oriented. And it's such a good thing for the preacher boys around here to see this. Of course, the ministry is demanding. You're going to spend a lot of time with the ministry. But I tell you what, you have family time and you be sensitive to your pastor's wife's family time. You know, don't ever say she spends too much time with her family. Isn't that crazy to say that? Mm-hmm. Don't ever say that.
Hello.
Hello, yeah. Number 12, be responsive in times of illness or needs. Be responsive. I wasn't anything. I was a dean's wife at one big church where we worked for 13 years. But one time, Mrs. Elaine Colson, when I was sick, sent over to our house a pot of potato soup. I still remember that to this day. She's the busiest lady in the whole wide world. But she brought it in a container that I didn't have to return to her. It was so wonderful. But be responsive in times of illness or needs of your pastor's wives. What a blessing and encouragement you can be to your pastor's wife. 13, if she mentions something she likes, get it for her. Now, Mrs. Terry Chapel loves Diet Coke. And we have a lady in our ministry here, Mrs. Sharon Coates. I guess in all these years she's been here at this church, she's been here probably 25 years. I don't know how many hundreds and thousands of Diet Coke Sharon Coates has bought. But she'll always bring Mrs. Chapel a Diet Coke. You know what that says? I'm thinking of you. I know what you like. I'm going to bring you what you want. Isn't that amazing? You know, I like Hershey with almonds, and I've been given so many Hershey with almonds, it's a wonder I'm not huge, but because I eat lots of them. But it's just when you've ever expressed something that you like and somebody gives it. But you can be an encouragement to your pastor's wife like that. If she ever mentions something that she likes, you know, she's not going to say, I love fur coats, you know, because none of us can afford a fur coat, you know. But if she ever mentions any little thing, then you make a mental note, whoo, I want to be an encouragement to her. I'll just slip that to her here and there. You can be an encouragement. Number 14, offer free childcare. Now, this is close to my heart because our youngest son, Joey, and his wife, Andrea, were in El Salvador for 3 years. But they have a special needs little girl. She's almost 5, and she can't walk or talk, and she may never. I don't know. But they had to come off the mission field. He is now pastoring in Michigan. So she's very busy. They had 3 babies, 1, 2, 3, bang, bang, bang. And now she's pregnant with another one. Wasn't planned, but here he comes. No, here she comes. And so anyway, they almost have 4, but they have 3 little ones. And at this church where they've just taken a pastorate, there's already been one teenage girl and another lady in the church that said, Andrea, let me watch the children this afternoon because I know Joey's going to go visit people. And she has loved it because, you know, she's got these 3 little ones and she's got to watch them. And she loves to watch them. She's a great mother. But I'm just saying, you can be a blessing to your pastor's wife by offering free childcare. And I'm not talking about every day, of course, hello. I'm talking about periodically, just to be a blessing if they have small children. Okay? Number 15. Pay for her to have a manicure or pedicure. Huh. I've had the college girls do that for me 3 or 4 times in the years we've been here. I would never go do that myself just because I'm just a penny pincher. And it's not a sin against doing it. I just, you know, I can paint my own nails. But But three or four times, some college girls, dorm floors, have given me a certificate. They've already paid for it, so I got to go use it to get a manicure and pedicure. I feel like the Queen of Sheba sitting there, you know? But, you know, why don't you do that sometime for your pastor's wife? Well, it, you know, she may already do it, and that's fine, but most pastor's wives don't. And it's not because it's, you know, it's just an extra nice thing. Anyway, I thought I'd throw that in. Number 16, give her a gift of thank you notes. Pastor's wives write a lot of thank you notes. So when you see a package of thank you notes on sale, I mean, that's a great gift. And that can encourage your pastor's wife. I had several pastor's wives mention that one to me. Then, 17, when she has company, bring a homemade dessert. And I don't go by the Walmart and buy a already pie that's baked. I mean, make something. You know, I had lots of company. I didn't have near like Mrs. Chapel because our church wasn't that big. But every Sunday, we tried to have at least 10 people at our house for lunch. I cooked the same meal every cotton picking Sunday, every meal, every Sunday. We had roast in a crock pot with the mashed potatoes and the carrots and the green beans. And I made homemade yeast rolls, and we always had chocolate cake and brownies, or chocolate cake and ice cream, I'm sorry. And I had the same meal. But it was so refreshing when some of the ladies would say, hey, I just brought this dessert so that you can have a choice of desserts. They always knew I already had everything planned. But I just thought that was nice. When you know she's having company, don't say, you want me to bring something over? Because then she feels funny saying, yeah, will you? Just say, oh, I'm bringing this over, you know? And it's always nice to have two choices of desserts, right, when you're having company. I mean, I think that's a great way to be an encouragement to your pastor's wife. It surely did encourage me when I was a pastor's wife. Number 18, be understanding. Be understanding. Your pastor's wife is just like you. She has ups and downs. Mm-hmm. She's not perfect. She has struggles. She's special, but she's just like us. So you be understanding. Don't pick her apart. Be understanding. And you can be an encouragement to your pastor's wife if you will do that. Number 19, don't expect her children to be perfect. Because, see, they're the pastor's kids, and they play with your kids, the deacon's kids, and that's what's wrong with them. That's a joke, of course. But isn't that funny how we expect the pastor's kids to be the perfect? And, you know, they should be. And I used to tell Todd and Joy, you know, come on, guys. You know, and then when we were at another ministry, you know, people are watching you. And I regret ever saying that because they should behave and I should behave whether someone's watching or not. But the point being this, don't you expect your pastor's kids to be perfect because you know what? They're not going to be because they're just like your kids and they're just like you and me. But you can be an encouragement. Now, if they're doing something wrong, you need to correct them. You're going to have to correct them or go tell them if they're doing something really bad. But don't expect them to be perfect, okay? Then number 20, be a servant. Be a servant. Around here, one of our themes is servant leadership. And just the fact that you came into this class when there are others being offered, you want to be a servant. You want to be a blessing to your pastor's wife. And I take my hat off to you for that. You know, there's always a lot of people who want to help set up. But you notice how many people are there when it's time to clean up? Why don't you be a servant and hang around and clean up? Because the pastor's wife got to stay there till it's all done. But be a servant. In our church, I had a lady, her name was Myrna Luce, and I told her, I called her, I said, Miss Myrna, about 1:30, 2 o'clock, I hope your ears are burning because I'm going to tell the ladies what a special blessing you were to me. She was a widow, so therefore she would have to eat her Sunday lunch by herself every Sunday. So I just said, Miss Myrna, you know I have the same meal, and you see where everything is in my kitchen. So can you help me every Sunday? So while I was saying, you know, goodbye there at the church with my husband, standing in line where everybody comes through, she'd go over to the house. We lived on the church property. She had to unlock the door and get everything set up, and she would serve the meal. And then while she's bringing the dessert in, we're all talking to these people, and she's cleaning up in the kitchen. She was a blessing to me. She was a servant. I wonder if you could do something like that. Now, if you have five kids, don't say, Pastor's wife, I want to come over and help you every Sunday. I know I've got these five kids of my own, but I'll, you know, no, no. But there's some way that you can be a servant to your pastor's wife. And if you pray and ask the Lord to show you what it is, I think he'll show you. But Myrna Luce was such a blessing to me and just a servant. Number 21, don't be a flirt to your pastor. Yeah. Do you know, when a church leader has a moral failure, in all these 41 years that I've been married, there have been a few who've gone out and done something wacky with a prostitute or whore, but most of them mess up with a lady in the church. Someone who got too friendly. Don't you flirt with your pastor. Don't ever, I tell the college girls, please girls, act around my husband the way you want someday a young college age girl to act around your husband. Don't you be a flirt. Don't be a flirt to your pastor. Don't ever cause your pastor's wife to be concerned as to how you're talking to her husband. And you know what, ladies? If you'll be this way and not be this way, you'll be an encouragement to your pastor's wife. Number 22, be appropriate with compliments to your pastor. When you're a leader, like, for instance, my husband is a leader here at the college, the dean of students, a lot of young ladies will write notes. I love the girls who write a note and say, "Dear Brother Weaver and Mrs. Weaver," and they compliment him about something that you... throw in something about me, and they give the note to me. And then I show my husband. Be appropriate with your compliments to your pastor and how you do that. Because like I say, the moral failures that I've heard about, most of them in churches, are from someone within the church. Someone's not being careful. And so let's be an encouragement to our pastor's wife by not flirting with our pastor. And being appropriate in our compliments, okay? Then number 23, you have to add these. I've found two more. Don't be high maintenance. I hope your pastor's wife would never think you're high maintenance. I've got to really work on this lady because she gets her feelings hurt all the time. Don't be that way, ladies. You've come into this session, chosen this. You want to be an encouragement to your pastor, so pastor's wife, don't be high maintenance. Number 24, be a blessing to your pastor's wife's children. I want you to write a verse down, 1 Timothy 5:17. 1 Timothy 5:17, where the Bible talks about those who labor in the word are worthy of double honor. And I had two or three pastor's wives tell me this. As I was asking these questions on tour this summer, but it's such a blessing when the church, some of the church members remember my kids at different times. Yeah. And so that's just the one way you can be a blessing. Now, what can you do to make your pastor's wife a happy, joyful lady? Like I talked about at the beginning, just ask the Lord. I think he'll show you. My mother made being a church leader's wife appealing. And we want more of our young ladies in the church to want to be a church leader's wife. I began this lecture after we had prayer with the illustration about William Carey. We're going to end here. And I want to ask you, if your pastor's wife is willing to go into the gold mine, you go down into a mine, there are depths. When you find gold, there's heights. But when she goes down in there, this is figuratively speaking, don't forget, we must hold the rope. And we've listed 24 ways. Would you ask the Lord to help you to be an encouragement to your pastor's wife? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, it is very warm in here, and yet these ladies have been so patient with that. I pray that you will show us all how we can be an encouragement to our pastor's wife. Help us to go over these points and look through them and think through them and pray through them. And may we be a blessing and encouragement to the lady who is the wife of our pastor. And I pray that you'll help us all to honor you in this area. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, ladies.